Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the nerdiest podcast in the Midwest. This is the Midwesterners Podcast. If you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, this is a part two of two. We did part one last week. We started to talk about all of our favorite specific things, our top 10 lists from 2022, and wouldn't you know it, me and Brian recorded for 2.5 hours. So we split it into 2 weeks. Last week was basically just movies. This week is going to be TV shows, music, games, books, that kind of thing. So if you haven't listened to last week's yet, I would recommend going and listening to that one first, listen to our top 10 movies, and then come back, listen to this week's episode so that you can listen to all of our other favorite things from 2022. Enjoy.
All right. Let's keep this train rolling so it's not a 3-hour episode, even though it probably will be pretty close. TV, Kyle, there is a lot of TV that came out this year.
Lots.
Actually, before we do that.
Yes.
We built this episode up as like favorites, least favorites. Were there any movies that came out this year that were disappointing, that maybe didn't hit the mark, that you were just like, man, why did I watch that?
Black Adam.
That's the only movie
you
I can think of.
Hated that movie, man.
Genuinely, the only movie I can think of this year that I did not like. Like, honestly, that I watched, obviously. There's a lot that I didn't see. I did not like that movie. I had fun at times. And, like, a superhero movie is always going to be good. And there's characters that I recognize. So it was like, at the, you know, while I'm watching the movie, it's like, I know who that is. But, like, the more and more I think about the movie, I just really did not like it.
It almost made it on my honorable mention list.
Because I'm glad it didn't.
I enjoyed that movie more than I anticipated. I'll be honest. I had no intentions of seeing that movie until the Henry Cavill news came out. And I was like, sure. Okay, I need to see this for that. Sure. And going into that movie with those kinds of expectations, like the trailers didn't win me over at all. I didn't think the trailers were good at all. And so going into this movie, I was like, I'm having fun. Like, I'm having a great time. And then I took a 5-minute nap. And then I was like, oh, boy. Like, what happened? Oh, we're into the final battle. All right. Yeah. Oh, there's a sky beam and a giant devil demon again. Oh, okay. We haven't seen this a million times, but I guess I'm in for it. And, yeah, I had more fun with that movie than I thought. And I actually do kind of want to go back and watch it again at some point. Now that it is up on HBO Max, like, I have the access to it.
I think it's telling that it also wasn't in your honorable mentions, but it did not even cross my mind for a second that it was going to be your number one.
Because I fell asleep, that's why I left it off. Otherwise, it would have been at like the very end of my honorable mentions. Because I was like, I enjoyed this movie, but I also fell asleep in it. And I saw it middle of the afternoon on a day that I had off. So did I have an excuse for falling asleep? No, so that tells me something.
Exactly.
I have a couple movies on my least favorite list this year. It's been a common theme this episode. It's been a common theme this year. Just recently talked about it. Gonna bring this theme back. A movie that I feel like I watched completely different than everybody else other than my girlfriend, Barbarian. This was a thriller horror movie that it's set up into like three acts. And the first act of the movie is what this movie was advertised to be. And I was in. I was like, I'm a little uneasy. It's creepy. Like, I like where this is building and going. The second act then goes into a completely different story. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, don't know where we're going, but I'm still interested because, like, I like what's going on. And then it starts to tie into that first act. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm liking where this is going. And then we get into the third act. and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is this movie? I'm going to talk about a little bit of it because I'm sure you don't care about it. And maybe me talking about it will get other people curious enough to maybe check it out and make their own opinions of it. But like, why is there a giant naked lady that's doing weird fucking shit? What is this movie?
What?
Exactly. Like, leaving the movie, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I liked that it did things that I didn't expect, and it went places that I could not have seen where it was going at all. But the more I think about it, the more I don't like it. And my girlfriend's in the very same boat as me, and she says something about this movie that I completely agree with, and the fact that, like, the first act sets up this movie to be like not anything new to a horror movie. Like, it's a premise that has been done before, but I was more interested in that movie that they were setting up than the movie that we ultimately got at the end. But so many people that have seen it love this movie. And I'm like, what? I don't understand it. So it didn't make my honorable mentions. It didn't even hit middle of the road for me. It hit towards the lower end of the spectrum of movies that I saw this year.
I don't know if I could watch and take seriously a horror movie starring Justin Long. Maybe that's just me and my preconceived notions of him as an actor.
He's the focus of the second act. I liked where they were going with him.
Okay.
And he's done horror movies before.
Really?
He was in Jeepers Creepers 2, and he's in Kevin Smith's movie Tusk.
I actually did hear about that. I didn't see it though.
So he's done a fair share of horror movies where you look at the actor and it's like, don't expect him in this kind of a movie, but like it works because of that.
Fair. And
the role that they gave his character, I was like, okay, for Justin Long playing this kind of a character, it's working for me and I'm interested. But it's just where the movie ultimately went, where I was just like, no.
I see Justin Long and I see him getting pelted with dodgeballs, so.
Yeah. The second movie that I want to talk about, Jurassic World Dominion.
I heard this was garbage.
How it's one of the only movies this year that made $1 billion, I don't understand. You fooled everybody, and you fooled me, because I was one of those people that didn't love Jurassic World. I thought it was fine. Is it anywhere near the other Jurassic Park movies that came before it? No, not in my opinion. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, I think, was the second one. Yes. Half that movie is really good. Half that movie is stupid. But then you bring this movie. You're like, it's the concluding chapter of the Jurassic Worlds, of Jurassic series in general. We're bringing back the old cast, all of the actors that you love, including the ones that said would never come back to this franchise again. We pushed enough money on their porch to get them to come back for this piece of shit. Why you spend 2/3 of this movie focusing on locusts and bugs instead of dinosaurs, mm-hmm, makes no sense to me. This movie... Yeah. It was boring. It was long. I liked the different dinosaurs that they had in it. It was ones that we hadn't seen before. The fact that we got a feathered velociraptor at one point was fun. There were a couple fun action scenes in this movie, but a lot of it was boring. A lot of it was like, why are we doing this? A lot of it just wasn't good. So that hits there.
That movie making $1 billion is the exact reason that we are in the world of movies that we're in where everyone's just rebooting shit. Because you throw the word Jurassic on there and throw that fucking dinosaur symbol and everyone's going to go see the movie. It does not fucking matter the cast or, well, I guess you announced that the rest of the cast is coming back, but you just throw Jurassic and that logo up there, people are going to go see it. And that's the sad.
And hey, because it made $1 billion, Universal has already said they're going to reboot it again.
No.
They're going to continue the story with a different cast.
And that means in the ninth movie, Chris Pratt is going to come back. So that we can look forward to that.
Yeah. Not a good movie. Movies that we're definitely going to talk about more in a future podcast. So I'm just going to mention.
Sure.
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder. I enjoyed them. I was kind of disappointed with Doctor Strange. I was definitely disappointed with that one. Thor, Love and Thunder kind of met my expectations and even exceeded it in some aspects of the story. But overall, like, we've seen the quality of movies that Marvel can make.
Sure.
These didn't quite hit it for me. That's all I'm going to say about them right now. Like I said, we've got a future episode planned where we'll dive more into that. The last movie on my list, my least favorite movie of the year.
Ooh.
A movie that I have no idea what the fuck they were thinking. Halloween Ends.
Really? I haven't heard anything about this. I'm interested.
The 2018 continuation, bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis, Laurie Strode, the role that made her iconic, that built her career. We're going to bring her back as this old grizzled woman that's got PTSD from the events that happened in the first movie. She's turned herself into a complete badass. Michael Myers comes back and she's like, all right, time to take him down. Second movie continues that story like immediately after. She gets hurt towards the end of the first movie. So she's in the second movie, but she's not a big player. And so it's basically the town rising up to take down Michael Myers. Another movie where I feel like I've watched a different movie than everybody else, because I had a lot of fun with the second movie. It kind of goes back to the classic slasher days. There's a lot of fun kills. There's a lot of fun action in it. It builds on the mob mentality theme, and I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way just because of all of like the stuff that was going on at the time, and a lot of people hate this movie. I don't see it. Had a lot of fun with it. We set up Halloween 3 as the final confrontation between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. The last Halloween movie that Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in. And you fucking throw her into a shitbag of a movie as the conclusion. I really like the first two of the rebooted trilogy, the reboot sequel. And this movie, Michael Myers is barely in it, which makes no sense. They're trying to build his legacy by focusing on a brand new character that we've never introduced in the movies until now. It's boring. It's stupid. There's a lot of things in this movie that is like, why are these characters doing these things? When I revisit these movies, which I will watch the original because I love that movie. I will watch 2018. I will watch Halloween Kills, and I will watch the last 20 minutes of Halloween Ends, because I will admit the final battle between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers and the ending of the movie is really good. It's what the whole movie should have been. So at least they stuck the landing, but they fucking stumbled across that finish line to get to that landing. I was very disappointed with this movie. I was confused when I left the theater. I went to the theater and paid to see this movie, even though they put it up on Peacock the same day they threw it in the theater, which was the ultimate red flag. I don't have a subscription to Peacock. So I was like, well, if I got to pay for this movie, I might as well pay to see it on a big screen, because I was excited for it. Oh my God, this movie was so disappointing. It was like they put all their efforts into the first two movies, and this, they were like, well, we're contractually obligated to do this movie. We kind of have an idea that could have been interesting, but we don't really care anymore. So let's just fucking throw it out there. And ugh.
To me, that sound, to me, the way that you just kind of described that is like, if during Endgame they also tried to introduce Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, and some, you know, like they tried to introduce new characters while they're wrapping up other characters, like that's terrible. That's awful.
It's like if Endgame would have been with Thanos, you know, being the big bad, but they were like, let's bring Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp back and build her up to be the next Thanos level villain, even though, like, what the fuck is she doing in this movie when we have Thanos right here?
It's almost like
they would have had the ending.
Yeah, it's almost like they should have introduced whoever this new person is in the first one. If they wanted to do something with them and then have them somewhat go against the legacy during the entire trilogy, if you're going to do that. You know,
the concept could have been interesting, but just the way that they executed it was like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Like, why are we doing this? Why are these characters doing and acting and being the way that they are? It was like they knew that they had to do the finale how they did it, but they didn't know how to get to the finale. So they were like, well, let's just throw a random dart at an idea board and go with it.
To be fair, that's how a lot of movies are written.
Oh my God, it was awful. It was awful. All right, let's kind of speed through these last categories, because you got the time in front of you, but I'm sure we're over an hour at this point. So let's jump into TV. What was there anything that you missed?
Honorable, anything that I missed? What did I mention earlier? Dahmer on Hulu, I wanted to see, and Chainsaw Man. Those are the two shows I believe that I missed this year. Unless there's something that you bring up that I also missed.
Nope. Honorable mentions.
Obi-Wan did not make my top 10, but I still enjoyed it. Again, had problems with it, but enjoyed it.
I don't have a top 10. I just kind of have a list of shows that I liked, so I'll talk about them in that order.
Honorable mentions, I didn't even think about, like, I mean, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, any Marvel show that I don't mention in my top 10, I'll consider an honorable mention, because there honestly wasn't something that I disliked as far as Marvel TV specials this year.
I had some shows that I disliked, and I do have a honorable mention, but I think in 2023, I need to keep a list of the new shows that I watch, kind of like I do with the movies, because there were a lot that I just couldn't remember. There was one that is definitely towards the top of my list that I forgot multiple times again until today while making the list. And I was like, how could I forget that this came out this year and we watched it? So I'll go with my honorable mention first, and then I'll kind of jump into three of the shows that are towards the bottom of my favorites list. My honorable mention is Sonic Prime. It's a new animated series that's on Netflix. 8 episodes. The first episode is around an hour long, and the rest are around like the 30-minute mark. Came out the week of Christmas. And I've watched the first 2 episodes, and I really enjoy it so far. If you're a fan of the video games, and especially like the 3D ones, and for some reason Sonic the Hedgehog 2 didn't work for you, this is your show, because a lot of the themes and elements from the games are kind of making their way into this show. It's kind of playing on the multiverse theme with it, and I've enjoyed the first 2 episodes, but didn't make it all the way through, so that's why it's on my honorable mention list. Three shows towards the bottom of my top that I really enjoyed. Tales of the Jedi, I liked more than I thought I would. Had a blast with a lot of those. And while they were shorts, a lot of them, like we talked about in our episode, I kind of wish that they would have either A, been their own series or movie, or B, could have been like a full-on like special presentation, since Disney's doing all these now. If we could have gotten a special presentation of the Dooku story instead of like those three shorts, I would have absolutely loved it. But I did love everything that we got out of it. So it's towards the bottom of my list. A documentary series that I watched on Netflix that I kind of cheated on my Letterboxd and threw it into movies, because it's like three parts and they're all around like an hour long. So it's, and we watched them all in one sitting, so it was basically like a movie for us, but technically a TV show, which is why I'm throwing on this list. Trainwreck, the Woodstock 99 documentary. Knowing what people know about this documentary and the events that happen, as you're watching this events unfold, you're just like, what's going to happen next? Even though you already know the outcome. And the tension is like builds and builds and builds. And Trainwreck is the perfect title for it, because you're on this smoking steam engine as it's falling off of the unfinished bridge into the canyon below to crash and burn. I had a lot of fun with this. It was very interesting. Cannot believe the things that happened in this documentary. So had a great time with that. And She-Hulk makes it. The more I think about the show, the more I like it. There are definitely things that don't work for me. There are definitely some things that I am still kind of on the fence about, whether I liked or not. But the things that I did love about this show definitely earned its spot on my list. That Daredevil episode alone earns its spot on the list. Like I said, when we were reviewing that series, if I could have just had a favorite episode of anything, that probably would have made it towards the top of that list. I liked a lot of the things that were in the show.
And it helps that Dan Slott came out and said, this is the most accurate comic era MCU show that has come out. Comic accurate, I should say. I very much enjoyed that tweet from him defending the show.
He's just stirring the pot. That's all he's doing.
Of course he is, as he should. Another honorable mention that I forgot, Werewolf by Night. Didn't make my top 10, but was very good. I very much enjoyed that. At number 10, I did kind of cheat a little bit and put My Hero Academia in there, because the newest season hit the U.S., the dub version hit the U.S. this year, so I'm going to count it, because I fucking love that show. and later, hey, honestly, the more you watch...
To us and the U.S. true. Audience, it counts.
True. The beginning of that show, if you just jump in and watch it, it's not like one of those shows where it's like you could skip the first season and then you get to the good part. Like, the first season is good, and then the second season is better, and then the third season is better, and then the fourth season, like, it honestly just keeps getting better and better and better and better. I love that show so much. Number 9, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Absolutely loved it. Had to put it on my top 10. I've watched it genuinely 20 times. and then at number 8, I also had Star Wars Tales of the Jedi. Surprising, like, not something that I don't watch a lot of Star Wars animated. I want to get into that more. But this was something that I just sat down and decided to watch. I watched them all back, and what a phenomenal story that they told. A lot of plot holes in other movies and things, a lot of
I'm also gonna add Werewolf by Night and the Guardians Christmas special to my honorable mentions. Maybe even towards the bottom of this list, because like I said, I think I have 8. I really did enjoy those a lot more than I was expecting to, especially the Guardians ones. So yeah. Those definitely make the list. The Boys season 3 is on my list. I had a lot of fun with this show. This is one of my favorite shows. It keeps raising the bar, it keeps upping the ante, and it keeps like clearing it perfectly. Like, absolutely loved this. I missed one. Moon Knight sits below The Boys.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun with this show. I had a lot of fun with our Midwesterners read on the Jeff Lemire series that we did on it. I fall in the camp where I was a little disappointed with the season finale, but it didn't ruin my overall experience with it. I loved the mystery of the show, going through the whole thing and figuring out what's going on. And I love that we're establishing this character and making him bigger than he ever was in the comics. And fucking Ethan Hawke, once again. And Oscar Isaac he's definitely one of the most interesting actors for me, and definitely could hit my favorite actors list if I was to make a list. And seeing him in this role, absolutely love it. So definitely makes the list. Give us your next couple.
After Star Wars, I had at number 7, Shorzy. I talked about Shorzy in a best off before. It's a spinoff of Letterkenny on Hulu. It's better than Letterkenny, in my opinion, and a lot of my buddies' opinion, who we all watch it. Phenomenal show. I've watched this. It's only a quick, like, 6 or 8 episode season. I'm sure they'll do more because of the success that it had, but it's just so funny. It's so good. It was, yeah. I mean, it's a very simple show. It's not like there's deep lore or anything that you really, it's just a quick, good watch and short. Yeah, it was, if you're even at any level of interested in hockey, I mean, Shorzy was great. And then at number 6, I also have Moon Knight. Moon Knight was easily my favorite MCU show. I don't know if I'd have to think about it versus Black Panther. I absolutely loved Moon Knight. It was, I rewatched it a few times, and the initial watch of it, oh yeah, the initial watch of Moon Knight was just particularly special. I think it's the same thing as watching WandaVision and Loki for the first time, watching it week to week and like talking with you about it and talking with everyone about it, trying to figure out what's going on. That was the best part about Moon Knight, especially because we had read the comic before too. Like, that's easily my favorite comic of all time right now, like out of the ones that I've read, which isn't a long list, but yeah, I absolutely loved Moon Knight. I can't wait for the future of that character in the MCU. And I can go to my number 5 if you'd like.
Do your 5 and 4, because I only have 3 left on my list.
Okay, number 5. Do you really want to taste it? Peacemaker. James Gunn absolutely hits it out of the park again. Peacemaker was phenomenal. John Cena is great. The rest of the cast was awesome. Yeah, that show was so great. And I'm hoping that's one of the few things that comes out of this past DCU into the current one. I'm assuming because it's James Gunn, it'll survive the transition. I absolutely loved everything they did with that show. There were twists that I didn't see coming, and the fact that it played off of the Suicide Squad as well. Yeah, such a great show. And number 4, something we talked very much about as a show. I think you ended up finishing it, but Cyberpunk Edgerunners. I absolutely love that anime on Netflix. I think people need to go in and watch it. I think they need to give it a chance because it's honestly, like, it's so good. And I think everyone that I talk to about it just gives it nothing but praise. And they're like, oh my God, it was so, like, that no one was expecting this. And I'm so glad that anime was able to get this kind of thing. You know, like, it was such a big step for anime, especially in the United States. Like, it was so big, but yet I don't think enough people watched it. So I think a lot of people need to go back and see this if you haven't. I'm definitely going to go back and rewatch it because it was just, it's such a good story.
I still haven't finished.
Brian, you need to rewatch it at this point. Start from the beginning.
Sile asks me every week if I've finished it, and I bought an anime during Black Friday because it was super cheap at Best Buy on 4K, Ghost in the Shell, and I lent it to him. And every week he asks me if I finished Cyberpunk, and then I respond by saying, have you finished Ghost in the Shell? And when am I going to get that back? Because I've lent it to you like 2 months ago at this point.
And Sile, if you're listening, don't give it back to him until he finishes Cyberpunk.
So I haven't finished it yet. definitely on the list of things to finish and watch. Yeah, a lot of good stuff on that list. I'm going to give my number three and my number two, since I only have three left.
Yep.
Before jumping into my favorite thing this year. Number three, I do want to taste it. Peacemaker. Dude, this show, I jumped on this wagon late. It was like halfway through the series by the time I started watching it, because Peacemaker was like one of my least favorite characters in that movie. So I was like, why are we even doing a show on him? Why do I care about John Cena? Is everybody on crack? Because they're raving about this show. I was not excited for the show at all. I was going to skip it, just like I was going to skip Black Adam. But this show was 10 times better than Black Adam. This show was freaking awesome. One of, if not the best intros to a TV show of all time, definitely sits towards the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena is phenomenal in this show. Not only did James Gunn do, for me, the unthinkable of making me love a character that I really did not like the first time seeing, but also making me kind of fall in love with John Cena, an actor that I was like, he's not that great. He's okay. Before the show, and then like actually taking a step back and being like, oh no, we need to give this guy more chances because he's fucking got it. Finding out that he's like, I think he got a Guinness this year, world record for doing the most like Make-A-Wish visits.
Yes, he has the all-time record for Make-A-Wishes.
Like, not only was he phenomenal in the show, not only has he shown he can be a great actor, but he's just an overall good human being. Like, yes. Get me on board. I'm on board. I'm sold. This show is available on HBO Max,
mm-hmm.
and I bought the season on Blu-ray. because Warner Brothers is like, we don't give a shit anymore. Like, we're gonna just cancel and take away shit that should be up forever because we don't want to pay for it. More and more supporting why I go out and buy physical media, because if I buy it physically, you can't take it away from me. This is a show that I don't want taken away from me. So I bought the season. I love this show. I had such a great time with this show. The fact that you can make me feel the things that I felt about a guy who wears a toilet seat on his head as a helmet. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
In 2022, much like WrestleMania 29, John Cena beat The Rock. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Now comes the tricky part.
Okay.
My number two and my number one keep flip-flopping for me.
Honestly, I will say, like, I could change these any given day.
Yeah. It's written down one way right now, and I think I'm going to change it. Like I said, it keeps flip-flopping. So number two for this episode, because like I said, it could very well easily change. Andor. When this show was announced, I was like, for why? Why do we need this? Why do we care? I was in the same boat as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He was a character that I was like, meh, in Rogue One. And I actually really like Rogue One, but mm-hmm. I don't feel like they did a whole lot with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why do we need this show? Especially when we know how his end is, because we basically got the series finale in a movie already before the show even came out. Why mm-hmm. do I care? And then the more and more hype that was building around this show towards the beginning of the year and the middle of the year, all of the things that were coming out about the creators of this show, the details about this show, what the show was going to focus on, and the themes, the trailers that they started to release, I was surprised. And I was like, I think this show is going to be bigger than everybody thinks it's going to be. Even Josh, who's on our show during Obi-Wan and was like, oh, I don't fucking care about Andor. I'm not even going to watch that show. I didn't like Rogue One. Who cares? Obi-Wan's going to be the best Star Wars show this year. You're not going to change my mind. I told him once, told him twice. Now I'm going to tell him three times. You were wrong.
That was a perfect impression, by the way.
This was the best. This was the best Star Wars show that we got this year. This sits towards the top of the list for best Star Wars shows, period. This sits towards the top best Star Wars just in general.
Yep.
Fucking loved this show. It's a slow burn,
yep,
but it definitely paid off. Absolutely loved it. Dude, Andy Serkis coming back?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That prison, the prison chunk of the show, mm-hmm, was definitely my favorite parts of the show.
Easily.
Like, oh, we've talked for episodes about this show, and I could talk for episodes more. And we will when we get season two in 2 years. But yeah, for now, like I said, it keeps jumping. I have it written as my favorite show of the year, but I'm putting it at number two for the recording of this episode.
I'll jump on the back of this. I'll skip my number three really quick because Andor is also my number two. I absolutely love the show. Again, on any given day, I might have switched this to number one. My number one has a kind of unfair advantage, and I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, Andor was phenomenal. I can't believe I haven't gone back and rewatched it already. I think that our audience kind of already knows. I mean, obviously we talked about this week to week, so they know how much we absolutely love this. They know our thoughts about this, especially towards the end. Like, yeah, I don't know how much more there is to say. I think you nailed it. Like, you could take each one of these sections, like the first three episodes, the second three episodes, the prison section, and then the last two episodes, like all you could all I, those would probably all be in my top five. Like they were just so good. They were so well told that easily one of my favorite Star Wars projects of all time, like easily. Backtracking now to number three. Number three for me was Stranger Things. Obviously Stranger Things number four, but it in general, I did a rewatch of it too, after the first part of season four came out and before the second part. The new season of Stranger Things, I just feel like Stranger Things keeps getting better. Like, there are a lot of people who were iffy on it after the first season. They weren't comfortable with the child actors and whatever. And, it's D&D, it's nerdy shit. But I think it just keeps getting better. And they obviously had a story from day one that they've been telling since day one. It doesn't feel like they've gone back and been like, oh, we did this, so now we can tell this story because this had, like, it feels like they wrote this full story day one and have just gone through, which I can very much appreciate as a person that's how I like to watch shows, is as a full story. So I've just absolutely loved the ride that Stranger Things has put me on, and I absolutely cannot wait for the next season.
Just to recap my list in no particular order, but kind of in an order, not a top 10, but like a top favorite shows, Tales of the Jedi, Trainwreck, Woodstock 99, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, The Boys Season 3, Peacemaker, and number two, Andor.
My list.
Yep, we'll get yours. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Go for it.
My Hero Academia, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, Star Wars Tales of the Jedi, Shorzy, Moon Knight, Peacemaker, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Stranger Things, Andor.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me?
I'll
go first because just talked about it. My number one was Stranger Things 4.
Okay, awesome.
I absolutely agree. I think the show only gets better and better. And I've been on board since season one. And
me too. I guess I didn't say that when
I've been on board since season one, but I jumped on board with season one late in the game. It wasn't until season two was coming out when they did all the promos with them in the Ghostbusters outfits. And I was like, oh, like, I like Ghostbusters. This looks interesting. it's one of those shows where sometimes, like, if it gets overhyped, I don't like it, turns me off, and I'm like, I don't really want to check this out because, like, too many people are loving it.
Sure.
And that was one of those rare occasions where that happened. But when I finally did jump on board and watched it, again, one of those shows that's on Netflix, they released awesome cases for seasons 1 and 2 to look like old VHS tapes on Blu-ray. Bought those. season 3 was absolutely phenomenal. And season 4, I loved. And I think I loved this show overall as a whole as, like, my favorite thing that I watched this year. This is one of those shows, though, where I'm starting to agree with a lot of people where Netflix needs to ditch the binge, drop it all at once, because just like Andor, just like all the Marvel shows that we talked about this year, this is a show that I feel like I would have enjoyed and appreciated and loved even more than I already did if we would have had the week to week to talk about it, especially the episode with Max and running up the hill. Like, if we would have gotten that and then had to wait like a week to see what happens after that, instead of just getting it all right in one big sit. And it was because they did like the first 4 episodes and then they took the 2 months off and then gave us the last chunk. That very much solidifies that Netflix does need to abandon the binge and go week to week, because I don't think we would have talked about this otherwise. And if we would have, it would have been like super late, because it was that break where it was like, all right, we've got enough time to catch up and talk about where we are at that point. And then we did the episode talking about like the end of the second part. And it's, I think you get more enjoyment. You get more time to talk about it with your friends and speculate what's going on.
You get more publicity on social media.
Exactly. Yeah, overall, I loved this. I enjoyed like Dustin and Steve and like that core group the most this season.
Yeah.
I think next would be the Russia crew. And then last but kind of least, I think, would be Mike and Will and Jonathan. Oh, and then Eleven as well. Like, sure, I'd put her
the California crew.
Yeah, I'd put her before the California crew, but the California crew, I feel like, was definitely the weakest part of this season. If they don't give Will anything to do, regardless of how you feel about that actor's acting, like, give that guy something to do in the last season, because the fact that his whole story arc was, I want to give this painting to Mike because I have feelings for him, while everything else is going on.
Sure.
Come on.
Season 5, I'm telling you right now, season 5 is going to be all about Will and Eleven. Those are going to be, it's going to be those two.
I hope so.
I'm almost certain of that.
I hope
if it's that, not, then they missed completely.
I hope that, God, and it's been so long since I've watched this now. What's his name? Metallica guy.
Billy? No, that's no. The other guy. Oh no, what's his name? Oh, I feel so bad.
I do too.
Eddie.
I hope they bring Eddie back as that D&D character that gets resurrected. Like, yes. I hope that that becomes a thing, because he was too good of a character. I don't want him to be another Bob. Because I Bob won me over at the end, and then we killed him off, and I was sad about that. But yeah, this is TV that feels like cinema, just like Andor, which is why those are both like top of my list. And like I said, it's a fight between Stranger Things and Andor as what was my favorite show this year.
Absolutely. I mean, these three that I have up top were locked in at 1, 2, and 3. It just depended on the order. And honestly, I could probably put Stranger Things up in the top 2 or top 1 at any given day. I think it feels like the fact that they split up the first 5 in the last 2 episodes of this last season, maybe they were testing out some sort of dropping weekly. Maybe they're like, okay, let's give some time in between these episodes, and maybe for I hope for season five they do it weekly, but I'm gonna watch it regardless, so I don't really care.
Yep, same.
Okay,
even if they did like they do with their stupid reality shows like Love is Blind and Too Hot to Handle, because I have to watch those with the lady, because as awful as those were, we love our garbage TV, but like those they dropped
your top 10?
No, they didn't make my honorable mentions either, but even if they did like they did with those, because they dropped those in 3-episode chunks. Like, they're usually around, like, 9 to 10 episodes long, and they'll do, like, 3 episodes 1 week, then they'll do 3 episodes the next week, and then they'll do 3 episodes. Even if they did that, like, you're still getting more conversation, but
yeah.
Ultimately, I think I would, like, I would like what Disney does. Like, if you gotta build up the story in the first couple episodes, drop the first couple episodes, and then go week to week.
Remember how perfect it was when Andor dropped those first 3 episodes? I mean,
it was, oh, chef's kiss.
Exactly. Okay. My number one, something you've already talked about, and now I get to add on to it. It's kind of cheating for me because while season 3 did come out this year, I only started watching this show this year. And I've this whole show in general is my top of the year. But The Boys is absolutely one of my new favorite shows.
Fucking diabolical.
Yes, everything. I love The Boys. Everything. I finally get all the Homelander jokes. I finally get the meme. I finally get everything. Jack Quaid is hilarious. I love this show. All the characters are great. The commentary, not only on superheroes and the genre itself, but on the real world. That commercial with what's his name? The speed guy. I can't remember, isn't it? A-Train. The commercial that he does, the energy drink commercial that mirrors the Pepsi commercial with the Jenners. Hilarious. I love that kind of stuff. And the connections, obviously, with Homelander and Trump. We don't need to get political here, but like there's so many and oh my god, like the women's storyline in the second season, the dangers of outside, you know, don't worry, go outside, go to your normal restaurants and go shopping. Like there's they tackle issues better than I've seen anyone tackle real life issues while also making fun of the superhero drama or genre, while also doing a good service to the superhero genre, bringing a different twist to it. Like I'm so mad at myself that I didn't jump on this. This was a classic, like everyone was telling
me. You're welcome.
Yep.
You're welcome.
this was a classic, like you mentioned earlier. Everyone was telling me to watch the show, so I almost kind of just shut it off. But when I finally got around to watching it, I mean, it's just phenomenal. I understand the hype now. I completely get it. I can't wait for more seasons. It's so good. It's just so good.
Yeah, I fucking love it. It's one of those shows that's based off of a comic series that I haven't read, and unfortunately I don't even have the desire to read it because of how good the show is.
Sure.
And because of the fact that everybody, and I mean everybody, who has read the comics say that this is one of the rare cases where the show is better. And now, it's like, why even go back, you know?
That's fair. With that being said, I will say people who I have heard who have read the comics say that the comics are also very good. But this is better, which it honestly not. That's not like a low bar to hit or anything. No. So,
but yeah, I agree. It's definitely one of my favorite shows.
So good.
And I'm so glad that you finally caught up.
That means when season 4 comes out, we can do a Midwesterners TV talk for it.
We will be touching on that next week. A little teaser for next week's episode. I'm going to jump into some of my least favorites. Did you have any least favorites or any shows that you missed that you didn't quite get to? I've got...
The ones that I missed, I already touched on. I don't think there was anything, unless I'm blocking it from my memory, I don't think there was anything that I disliked.
Okay. I've got a couple that didn't quite work for me.
And then I've got a bunch that I missed because, like I said, I kind of dropped the ball on TV this year. Sure. I just with how busy this year ended up being and how like I could barely keep up with movies. When it came to TV, I mostly went to comfort TV and went to either like just background stuff that I didn't really care about watching or just like shows that I wanted to revisit that I'd already watched. Mm-hmm. So I missed a lot of like the new stuff. But first, least favorites. And this show that I'm going to talk about first doesn't make my least favorite because I thought it was bad. But it was just, I didn't get enjoyment out of it. I recognized how good the show was and the quality of the show. But I felt dirty watching it. I did not feel good watching it. It was one of those shows where the lady was more interested and more like, we need to watch this than I was. Like, day to day as we were binging through it. Dahmer. Evan Peters did a phenomenal job. If he's nominated for Emmys, definitely deserves them. This was a dark show. It's not a feel-good show in the very least. I felt like it did a good job of portraying the things that it did, but the fact that like I felt icky watching it. And the fact that, like, a lot of the survivors of the victims were very against the making of the show just in general is kind of like I get why you would do it, and I understand why you would get somebody like Evan Peters to do it, but maybe we didn't need to do it. So that was one of the shows that I kind of had the least fun watching this year. The next show, which is hitting a lot of people's top TV shows of the year, House of the Dragon. Again, another show that is very well made. The effects are phenomenal. The writing is good. Didn't quite work for me. The fact that there are so many characters that are named like things like Aegon, and the fact that like I can't even keep track of who's talking about who and whose name is who. I enjoyed all the actors. I thought they did a phenomenal job, but we didn't even finish watching the show. We had like two or three episodes left and we just kind of forgot about it. Like, I think Too Hot to Handle came out when we were in the middle of watching this, and my girlfriend was like, we need to watch this other show instead. And then we just never went back. So, I understand why it's at the top of most people's lists, not on mine. And also, I will say this too, for anybody out there who was like, fuck Andor because it's too slow, for any of those people who say that, but love House of the Dragon, fuck off. Because House of the Dragon is a slow burn show. I will argue that Andor has a lot more action going on and a lot more to keep you engaged and interested than House of the Dragon did. So if you say that Andor is too slow, therefore you hate it, but you love House of the Dragon, fuck off. And last, and kind of least on this, my least enjoyable watch of the year was the newest season of American Horror Story.
Oh, really?
This is a show that took a lot for me to get into it, but once I finally did, I really liked the majority of what the show had to offer so far. A lot of people love the first season, Murder House. It took a lot for me to even get through that season. It didn't hit for me. It didn't click for me. Whereas season two, which a lot of people put towards the bottom of their list for this show, is one of my favorite seasons. So it's one of those shows where I'm on a different spectrum than everybody else. This season focused on like did like a horror thriller spin on like the AIDS pandemic in like the 80s and focused on a lot of like LGBTQ, but like again with like the AIDS pandemic, and there was like a leather faced mask killer that was in there too. And I felt like a lot of this season was just very scatterbrained. There were a lot of times where I was having a hard time following what was even going on. A lot of the characters I didn't find enjoyable at all, because a lot of them I felt like just weren't good people. And when they would start to win you over, like they would do something that you were just like, why the fuck are you doing this? And I don't want to send the wrong image when I say that it was my least enjoyable watch. It has nothing to do with the themes of like LGBTQ or the AIDS pandemic or anything like that. I'm a straight man, so I found some of this just not like relatable for me because I'm not that demographic. But just a lot of the writing I felt was scatterbrained, and just a lot of the times I was like, what is going on? And it was very much a slog for me. If my girlfriend wasn't watching it with me and wasn't wanting to get through all of it to see how it ended, I would have dropped off on it probably within the first like 3 or 4 episodes of the 10 episode season. So yeah, definitely hits my least. Shows that I missed. The big one for me is Sandman, the Netflix series based off of the Neil Gaiman comic book series. A comic book series that a lot of people put as like one of their all-time favorites / one of the most important comic book series ever written. Season 1 dropped on Netflix this year. It was one of those series that I wanted to read the source material first and then jump into the show. Didn't get to the source material, so therefore didn't get to the show. It's as faithful as an adaptation as like you can get, while also needing to make changes because the show is not made by Warner Brothers, so you can't use DC characters that show up in this series like Constantine, so you have to change some things a bit. There is a Constantine, but it's not the DC like the DC Comics Constantine.
Lame.
But the people that love the Sandman series love this show. So when you win over the hardcore fans of the source material, you got a phenomenal show on your hands. And it's one that I was very disappointed that I missed.
Fair enough.
All Murders in the Building, the Hulu series with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. It's a show that I haven't jumped on board with yet. There was a lot of talk about it when season 2 came out this year. Didn't get to it. The Bear, that has the actor who plays Lip from Shameless, also a Hulu series.
Yeah.
Everybody loves this show.
Really?
So many okay. people watch the show, talk about how good this show is. Didn't get to it.
Lip's so good too. I want to give that actor a chance. Like that's the reason I want to watch that show.
Have you watched Shameless?
Yes. I'm not fully through, but yes. I've watched most of it.
We finished Shameless, all of Shameless okay. this year.
I should finish it.
I don't. We might need to talk about this outside of the recording, because I love that show. I did not love how that show ended. And a couple of the last seasons I felt like were unnecessary then because of the way that it ended. So Ooh. Depending on how far you got, like for me, if I ever rewatch it, I'm going to rewatch it up to a certain point and then be like, nope, that is where the show ended for me. So that's where the show ends.
Period. We can, yeah, we can talk about it after, cause I can tell you where I got to.
But yeah, I love that actor too. The actor yes. who plays Lip. I'm blanking on his name. So I was interested in the show because of him, but all of the positive and big praise that the show has gotten makes me kind of disappointed that I didn't jump on board with this show. Severance is an Apple TV Plus show,
yes.
starring Adam Scott produced and directed mostly by Ben Stiller. Lots of people talk about this show. Yep. I know nothing about it. Missed it. Didn't get to it. Pam and Tommy, the Hulu series with Lily James playing Pamela Anderson and our boy Sebastian Stan playing Tommy Lee.
Forgot about that one.
Seth Rogen and Nick Offerman are also in that show. And it looked great. I have liked all the trailers for it. Just never got to it.
Yep.
And last but certainly not least, The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges. This was an FX series about an old assassin that's kind of pulled back into the spy world. Season one came out this year. I didn't get to it. So many people talk about how phenomenal it is. Why am I blanking on his name? The director of the new Spider-Man movies.
Sam Raimi.
Just no, not Sam Raimi. Webb. Is it Webb? What's his name?
No, maybe.
Anyway, director of Spider-Man Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home. He
John Watts?
Directs. Yes, he directs the first two episodes of the show, and everybody talks about how those are the best two episodes of the series. He's also doing the new Star Wars show, Skeleton Crew, that's coming out this coming year, which we'll talk about him more then. But so many people talked about how good this show was. One of the reasons I didn't get to it was because it's got kind of an abrupt ending to season one. Because halfway through filming season one is when Jeff Bridges was diagnosed with cancer. So they had to halt production so he could go and get cured. But they are coming back for a season two. So I'll probably revisit it for that when that comes out. But so much good talk about that show that kind of disappointed that I missed it. Why don't you give us some of your other favorite things this year? And we'll probably end the show with that, since this episode's gone so long and this is kind of like a best off episode all in of itself. We're going to skip that. So get into your last couple things. I'll get into my last couple things and then we'll call it a wrap.
This is the best off of all best offs. Yes. For music, I just wanted to mention a few artists who I thought had very good years. I thought Metro Boomin, he put out his album this year, which I don't think, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that I was mentioning a Metro Boomin album, I would have, what? I don't think I would have believed you, but his album was really, really good. Like, he samples a Homelander quote at the beginning of one of his songs. It's all about heroes and villains, which was very perfect. Really good music that he put out. I was not expecting that at all. MGK put out a second pop album this year, which I kind of forgot about, but I really enjoyed. I enjoyed his first one a little bit more, but the second one carried that along. I think he's doing very good in the genre, so I wanted to throw him out there. Kendrick Lamar continues to prove that he is, in my opinion, the greatest rapper of all time. I love him, and he just continues to put out nothing but bangers. Two guys that I discovered on TikTok pretty early, but who had really big years, Connor Price and Nick D, both had huge, just have completely sprung onto the scene and have started to become mainstream. Like, they're awesome. They make great music. They were both in my top five on Spotify this year. I absolutely love them. So please go check them out. And Bo Burnham, have to mention Bo Burnham again, because he put out the Inside Outtakes at the kind of sequel, I guess you could say, to his special Inside from Netflix last year. It's on Netflix and it's also on YouTube. Just phenomenal. It made me revisit Inside. Again, Bo Burnham was in my top five somehow again this year on Spotify, but I listen to his music just about once a week. He is a truly gifted human being, as troubled as he is. The comedy and the artistic side to him is just, it's awesome. I would love to pick his brain.
I guess I can jump in with a couple of music things, which I've talked to verbatim already in episodes past, so it's just going to be mentions. Honorable mention this year to Blink-182 for making their comeback with Tom DeLonge. Very exciting 2023 ahead with them. I am very fortunate enough to be able to experience that this year. spent a lot of money, but got tickets for them in Chicago. It's my girlfriend's all-time favorite band. They're going to be in Chicago the week of her birthday, her 30th birthday. So I was like, kind of have to. So, but that being said, I'm very excited for that. They released the song Edging this year, which was pretty good, but great comeback in 2022. Very exciting year of 2023 for them. So they're at my honorable mention, in no particular order. 4 Year Strong, again, they had back-to-back tours this year, once with Newfound Glory, and then they did a full headline tour of their own for the Enemy of the World, re-recorded, re-released. Kyle, did you do your homework on that yet? Have you listened to that? He's scratching his head, so I'm taking that as a no. Oh, what a disappointing way to get into 2023.
Yeah.
It was the year of Al. Weird Al Yankovic had an incredible year. He did a whole world tour to start the year off. Then he had his movie come out in the middle of the year. And then he ended the year with the Illustrated Al, which I will talk about shortly. And last but certainly not least, the event that made my whole year, Yellow Cards reunion, coming back. I didn't think that they would come back, especially it's been 7 years, but I didn't think it would be like this quick. And the fact that I was able to go to their first concert back, oh, it's going to go down in like all time memories for me. Like, such a good show, such a highlight. So they hit the top for me as far as music goes. I'm going to jump into books. I had a lot of good reads this year. So I got a small list. I'm keeping it small. No honorable mentions, just overall. The Illustrated Al, Weird Al Yankovic's graphic novel. He spanned his whole career in order to make this book. it's a gorgeous book. I paid a little bit of extra money for the oversized slipcase hardcover edition. That bitch stands at like fucking almost 20 inches tall. It's an art book. It is taking some of his most iconic songs and taking some of the best artists in the comic book industry and illustrating to the lyrics their visions of how they view those songs. It's a gorgeous book. I've not read all the way through it, but I've paged through most of it, and I haven't done my deep, detailed look through it, but it is an absolute gorgeous book, well worth the purchase. Like I mentioned in a best of before, you can buy the trade paperback from z2comics.com, which is $20, hell of a lot cheaper than the hardcover. But if you're a hardcore Weird Al fan, I highly suggest just go all out, because you won't regret it. It's a must have for any Weird Al fan. A book that, if we would have done a best of this week, I would have talked about here. A book that I finished this past weekend, a book that I wanted to do for a Midwesterners read, and I hope we get the chance to do it for a Midwesterners read at some point. Spider-Man, A Life Story. The hardcover, the oversized hardcover, came out this year, so I can fit it on this list, not only because I read it this year, but because the book itself came out this year. Series came out a few years ago, but that's not the point. This story follows Spider-Man, his life, through the decades, starting from the 60s, going all the way through the 2010s, and aging him appropriately through each decade. We start in the 60s in his early years of college. Then the 70s is like his early 30s. The 80s is his early 40s. The 90s is his early 50s. The 2000s is his early 60s. And the 2010s is his early 70s. And as we age the character through the decades, things change in his storyline. We hit a lot of like the main beats and like the main storylines that happen throughout those decades, but there's little twists and changes to kind of adapt and adjust with the aging of not just him, but all of the Marvel characters in this span of time in the story. Illustrated by one of the all-time greats for Spider-Man artists, Mark Bagley. He did a lot of the Spider-Man comics in the 90s, and he did almost the entire run of Ultimate Spider-Man. So if you know the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, you know him. The art is absolutely gorgeous. I loved this story. I loved the twists and turns. I loved the tweaks of it. It was a phenomenal read. Definitely makes top of my reading list this year. One of my favorite monthly series that I'm following, Nightwing by Tom Taylor. I love Nightwing, and he's one of those characters where when he gets his own solo series, I'll jump into it and get a read of it. It's a fun read. The artwork is absolutely gorgeous. They do the classic comic book dots in the coloring of it too. It's following Nightwing in a new city, Bloodhaven. It's a city that he was in back in the 90s when he had his first solo series. He's going back to that city to kind of the city is set up as like almost like the slums of Gotham City. And Nightwing finds himself with the Wayne fortune. And so he's using that money to kind of better the city, not just as Nightwing, but as Dick Grayson. And we get Blockbuster, which is very much a Kingpin type character, as the villain of being like, I run this city. Who the hell are you? So it very much has like a Daredevil feel to the series. It's a hell of a lot of fun. So that is definitely one of my favorite monthly series that I'm reading. TMNT, The Last Ronin. This is a series that's caught the TMNT fandom by storm. This follows the story of the last remaining Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and it's his final story down his road of revenge and redemption. I'm not going to reveal who the turtle is, but it's definitely like the Dark Knight Returns version for the TMNT. It's a concept that was originally brought up by the original creators, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, written and plotted by Kevin Eastman and Tom Taylor, who's done the majority of the current IDW TMNT series. Absolutely phenomenal book, a phenomenal read. It's next on my list to reread, because this was a series that like an issue would come out and then like 4 months later, another issue would come out. And like, I just kind of want to, now that I've read it all, but I want to read it all in one sitting. So it's definitely up on the top of my list for that. My all-time favorite series though, this year that I read, was a monthly series. It's a book that I was a little hesitant going into and immediately was sold within like the first couple pages. I've talked about this series a couple times on the show this year. I'm going to bring it up again. The Punisher by Jason Aaron. Artwork by Jesus Saez and Paul Azaceta. Jesus Saez's art is like painted. It is absolutely gorgeous. And Jason Aaron is telling the story of the Punisher becoming the leader of the Hand, which are the ninja assassins. So we're taking our Warzone war anti-hero Punisher, and we're training him to be a ninja assassin, to lead the ninja assassins. It is a phenomenal story. And I'm very excited for where this is going, because this book is setting up the Punisher to be the leader of the Hand, and the Daredevil series, ongoing series that's going on, is setting up Daredevil and Elektra raising an army to take down the Hand. So eventually these two series are going to come together with basically the ultimate showdown of Daredevil versus the Punisher.
Wow.
The series also does like flashbacks to Frank Castle's childhood and like early teen years and early adult years, kind of building up of not just the war and the loss of his family, building him into the judge, jury, and executioner type character that he is, but showing that maybe there was some things and past trauma events and just how he grew up and was raised that maybe shaped who he is as a character as a whole. The hook of what gets Punisher to agree to be the leader of the Hand is also very interesting and very fascinating. Don't want to reveal that because it's a reveal that's like, if you weren't sold within the first few pages of issue one, that's revealed as the cliffhanger of issue one, and automatically you're adding that to your subscription list. It is a phenomenal series. The best series that I read this year. Had so much fun with it, and I can't wait to see where it goes. Those were my top books of the year.
I actually have a book to add. The one book that I read, I mean, other than our Midwesterners reads.
I was going to say, we read three books.
So other than those.
Before you get into your whatever book you're gonna say, out of the three that we read, what was your favorite and why?
Ooh, Moon Knight. Pretty easily. That one was, I mean, I fell in love with the character pretty quickly. I think the character of Moon Knight is just so interesting. I think followed by what it was as a series, I think just, yeah, it pretty easily. Because what else did we read? Batman one was very good, and the Thor God Butcher one was very good too. But if listeners and you remember, I did fall a little bit towards the end.
Yeah.
For what,
but I also remember that the conversation that Tom and I had throughout those episodes, you were like, I could maybe go back and revisit it and maybe change my opinion.
I don't really read in my free time. So the fact that I even have a book for this is quite a, yes, but no, Moon Knight was definitely the top of my list on that. I do have one book that I read last year. I think I've mentioned it in a Midwest or in a Best Off before. I can't remember, but it's been a while anyway. So I wanted to reiterate it. It's called Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW. It's a book written about the new professional wrestling company called AEW, All Elite Wrestling. It's written by a YouTuber over in the UK. He's a fan. So it's not like it's a journalist writing about it or someone from outside the business. It's a fan of the wrestling industry who's in his mid to late 30s, who's been around for a long time and has lived through the rises and falls of pro wrestling. And I think he put into very good words each step of the way why this was working and why it was becoming so big and why it was gaining popularity the way that it was. So it's just a very good read. If you're a fan, even if you're a fan of pro wrestling, if you used to like it and you don't watch it now, I think it's still a good read. I think it's just very interesting to read about a new company in this day and age trying to not go against or take down, but trying to establish itself in this world of the monopolized WWE wrestling world.
Which, me not being a wrestling fan, I think that would be an interesting read because
exactly
what I know of that entertainment, I feel like the AEW is becoming the next WWE / WWF. Mm-hmm. Like I hear more people talk about and are excited about AEW than WWF at this point, where me, again, as an outsider who doesn't watch this, from an outside perspective, I feel like the WWE is a dying industry, and I feel like the AEW is a rising industry.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a very interesting read.
I think so, too. I'd be interested to hear the takes from an outsider, too. So, potentially next time I see you, I'll let you borrow the book, and we can compare notes. As far as after books goes, what I actually spend my time with is video games. I wanted to go over a very quick list of video games that I played this year and that I enjoyed. Fortnite is kind of cheating, and it's kind of weird to say, but I actually got back into Fortnite this year. It was actually very fun. They just keep adding characters that I don't think they have the rights to, or that I feel like they have like My Hero characters. They have Marvel characters. I just bought a Moon Knight skin the other day. Like, they just have properties that I don't think they are able to have. I don't know how they're able to get away with it, but they do. But the game itself is very fun. It's a fun game to play with people. So
the Marvel and DC stuff, I can tell you how they're able to get away with that. Crossover marketing, because DC has had a couple of crossover mini events in the comics with Fortnite, and Marvel's starting to do the same thing.
Oh.
There's two like DC Fortnite like event books that are out, and there's one Marvel one.
That's so interesting.
So that's how they're able to do that.
Where I might have to look more into that.
Fortnite's like, hey, can we use your characters? And Marvel's like, yeah, only if we can use your stuff to sell our books too.
Interesting.
And okay. And each of them have like I remember the DC ones, it was big. Like everyone was trying to get the issues because each issue had like a download code for like something like a skin or like a weapon or and I don't play Fortnite. So but they were doing that issue to issue. And I remember the comic book store getting so annoyed because like everyone just wanted that book for the codes, and you would get people that don't even shop at the store, that don't even buy comic books, that would like call in and harass them because they didn't have copies because everybody wanted it. Yeah. They sold out before they could even get it on the stands. Like,
I believe it.
All of their subscribers like subscribed to that book before they could even get them out on the stands. And so then when they could get a few in, like they'd post it on Facebook and within like minutes, some like people would be walking in the door to pick this, like these books up. And that was just the first time around.
Yeah.
And I think they got a little bit smarter where they saved the codes for like when they released them for like the collected like trade paperback or hardcover like editions, like once they collected them all. But I know Marvel started to do the Fortnite thing too. So
I should ask Josh about that because I'm pretty sure he has an issue or two of those. Now that you mentioned that. Other games I just wanted to mention. Madden, I thought, actually put out a good version this year. I played it on the PS5, so the newer generation. And I heard that if you still get it on the older generations, it wasn't as good. But I actually, this was the first Madden I enjoyed it for the first time, so I wanted to give that a shout out. MLB The Show is one of the best video games every year. It's the best sports game. They somehow make it better every year. It's one of the most real feels. It's one of the best like career modes. It continuously is one of the best sports games that is put out every single year, so shout out to Sony for that one. Pokemon Scarlet, this is coming from a Pokemon fan who hasn't played since the Sinnoh region. That would be the fourth in the iteration. I've missed a lot in between, but I went back and started playing Scarlet after all that, and I had so much fun with the Scarlet game. I think I'm at like 65 hours or something like that. I'm way past the end game, but I'm still playing the game. I'm still trying to complete everything. I'm still doing all the post story, you know, missions and all that stuff. It's just, yeah, very impressive game. Very fun. I'm glad I could get back into that. And I had to give a little shout out to the best game in the world, Dungeons and Dragons. I've had so much fun with this game, not only playing, but spectating as well. This game, D&D, can just bring out so much creativity and fun and bonding and brothership and everything that you want out of a game. I mean, it's just it's so special because there's nothing you could play the same campaign and you could replace one person in your party and it would be a different campaign. And it's just that's what makes it so special, is that it's just personalized to the people who's playing it, and it's just so perfect. I just have to give that a shout out when I can.
I guess I could mention some video games too. I'm going to keep this super, super brief and say that if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know what games I played this year. So I will say, as a PSA, I will say, do not buy FIFA 22 for the Switch. It's a scam. It's the only version of that game where you can't play as AFC Richmond and Ted Lasso. Don't buy that game for the Switch. It's a scam. So that's my PSA of worst game of the year for me. All-time favorite game this year, the best Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game to ever be released, Shredder's Revenge. Such a phenomenal game. I've ranted and raved about that game so much on this podcast. Definitely earns that my favorite game of the year. I've played it multiple times, and I'm looking forward to playing it multiple times again. That's video games and board games. I got to give a shout out to Unmatched. I know I've talked about that board game a couple times on this podcast. Kyle, we spent the majority of my birthday weekend playing that game, so you know how incredible that game is. They just released the Harry Houdini versus the Genie expansion. So
that sounds awesome.
Definitely got to get my hands on that so that we can play that. And I was very annoyed. Yesterday, they re-released the Jurassic Park, Ellie Sattler, and Ian Malcolm versus the T-Rex expansion with the Ian Malcolm mini in the sexy pose that I didn't think they were ever going to re-release, and then they did, and I already have the other version, so I'm like, why do I need two versions of this game, and I'm not going to pay $40 just to get a mini? So I'm so annoyed at that, but phenomenal game, and I'm super excited for the expansions that are coming out, which we'll talk about in next week's episode. But before I tease that, we've been your Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can listen to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this channel to continue to improve, grow, and be the Midwestern Nerds show that you, the listener, want to listen to. I sped through that because this has been such a long episode. We're probably going to cut it in half. So if this is part two of that episode, this little tease is for next week. If you're listening to part one, you won't have heard this. So irrelevant. But next week, we are going to be talking about our most anticipated movies for sure. And we'll probably throw in some other things here and there of 2023. We'll be 3 weeks into the year by then, but we do things unorthodoxly here. We do things late, as usual, here. It's why we're probably not trending on social media, that and the fact that we barely post anything on social media. But that is for us and our seven listeners to know and hold, I guess. But anyway, we have been your Midwesterners this week. I've been Brian Stoffel.
I've been K.O. Kyle Wilson, and check me out. I don't know, maybe we'll have to edit this into last week's episode if we split this up, but check me out on a different podcast of my friend Cal Hanstead, his name is. It's a podcast called Makes Me Mad, or What Makes Me Mad. I'm very excited to go onto that and rant about stuff that makes me mad, so go check that out. You can find that wherever you get your podcast from.
And whether it's beer, bots, comics, or pops,
keep it nerdy!